I'm going to invite Meg Rebholz up if she would come, because she wants to share her story, as you are familiar with the announcement we made a little bit ago on Team Sawyer. So,
hi. So we weren't supposed to be here this week, and that was God bringing us, flipping our weeks. We're not here now next week, and it was made known to me that I was supposed to come and do this week at all the services, and it's a bit of a hard tell, so I ask you to bear with me, but my sons, Landon is 17 and Avery and Ellis are 15, are doing this campaign for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society called Students of the Year, right? And they're doing it for their brother, Sawyer, who would be 19 now, a freshman in college. We lost him in 2008, so it's been a long time since he's been with us. Back in 2007, when this all began, Sawyer was only 5, Landon 3, the twins won. So I had my own kind of crazy, right, you know, already, just naturally, a good crazy. But there was nothing wrong with my kids. They were so healthy, all of them, including Soy. And he went here for preschool, loved it here, loved his teachers, and just a really normal, healthy, vibrant boy, loved Penn State, loved the Pens, loved snakes, you know, loved church. I mean, loved his friends. And I took him on March 5th to register for kindergarten, scored Jen Milo for his teacher. I mean, everything was great. And I have this photo of him at the school before we left, and he was so healthy in that picture. And fast forward, not even a month, and he's literally almost gone. And it's in a blink of an eye. I can tell you it was in a blink of an eye. And the type of cancer he had presents itself as something fixable. So he is presented as appendicitis. So needless to say, when he started becoming just tired and stuff, we just thought it was normal kid stuff, right? It was winter, it was preschool, it was 5 years old, kids get sick. We were just watching it, you know, developed an earache, just the basics. When the fever started, we were told just to watch it. When they hit 105, give it 12 more hours. If not, bring them to the pediatrician, that kind of thing. Well, we just couldn't get the kid basically at this point to even sit up, couldn't keep the fevers from wanting to go 105 plus, took him to the pediatrician. It was Tuesday at this point. You know, the way we knew something was starting to change was about 2 weeks after that registration, he wanted to pitch the baseball because he had just signed up for baseball. So we went out, he got 5 throws off, and he was done. He, for the most energetic kid I've ever seen, he had to sit in the grass and watch the rest of us play. He could not do any more. And then by the end of that school week, pick him up, and Janie and Don say there's something wrong with him. He just laid his head down the entire time. He is exhausted. So when we hit Tuesday and we take him to the pediatrician, they immediately put me back in the car, and he didn't tell me why, but he knew, and he just said, I want you to go to Children's right away. Just get yourself to Oakland. I'm going to call the ER and say you're on your way. And I'm thinking then, appendicitis, because we're still presenting appendicitis. And they go to take the blood from my son's arm, and it literally shoots out like a water fountain. There's nothing to it. I've never seen anything like it. I could see through it. It was such a light tint of pink. And it was water thin, and they couldn't get to stop, so they brought in the experts. It's all they do at Children's is draw the blood. Same thing happened to them, startled them. They couldn't get to stop. Turns out it was leukemia, and it was an aggressive form where they told me, after they had analyzed in the path lab and discovered it was acute myelogenous leukemia, that he had been sick absolutely no more than 3 weeks. That's when the blood had turned leukemic. and it was already 96% blast cells. There was nothing left of my son's blood already in 3 weeks' time at best. And that he had only had a few days left before he would have been gone if we didn't get him there. They put him in ICU, still had us after 2 days say goodbye to him because they just thought it was done. But he kept fighting. We had a lot of those kind of goodbye things, and he kept fighting. And he was there a very long time. After 5 rounds of chemo, it was around Christmas time now, and they said he was looking at remission. We're going to give you guys Christmas, because when you have an acute leukemia like that, you stay there. About every 5 or so weeks, they would try to give him 2 or 3 days home as a mental break, and then you have to take him back to start his next rounds of chemo. Besides Soy, I think my heart broke the most for Landon, my now 17-year-old, 3 at the time, because that was his... Oh, talk about having two sets of twins. They weren't really twins, but there was no difference when I look at my twins between then having Sawyer and Landon. And he lost that. He lost his brother a year before he lost his brother. I think that's probably the hardest thing to me to still to this day. So when we have him home for that Christmas in 2007, I remember bath night, he was great. And the next day he's sitting on my lap in the living room and he has all these unexplained bruises. And it's such a sign that the cancer's back. All he did was go to bed. It's not like he was roughhousing or anything like that. And sure enough, it was. So they started around 6 January of 08. And they wanted him desperately back on the transplant list. They had taken him off. And they never got him back to actually a point of his body being able to handle a transplant. But the end of round 6, the chemo killed everything except the blast cells, which increased. And the cancer cells, really increased. And they asked us for this huge, extensive medical history, everything my husband and I could possibly find. And they said, when they analyzed it, we've never seen so much concentrated cancer in one family before, and almost 100% of yours is in the blood between the two. And you should absolutely, even though leukemia doesn't run through siblings, which at first was one of our only feel-good things when he was diagnosed, that they told us, they said your family is the exception. You should always be watching. At least one of your other children will have leukemia while they are still a kid. We've been blessed so far to not have the other shoe drop. But there is still so much work to be done, not just for the possibilities of my kids, but for so many other families. With AML and children, the best stat you have of survival rate is 25% if you hit remission on the first round, you get a transplant from a 100% donor, and that donor is your sibling. We started way below the 25 mark. And kudos to LLS and St. Jude's. They have done remarkable things over the decades for leukemia. They really have, saving children. But for AML, there's still just nothing. They cannot get a grip at all on that disease. And so when my children said that they would like to take this on, their aunt first talked to them about it several years back, knowing they couldn't do it yet, because you have to be in high school, and we had to wait for my twins to get to high school. They were going to do it as a team. When they finally all hit high school, the twins are ninth graders now, back in the summer, the application went in, huge application. It was like filling one out for college. It was so big. They made that cut. And then they had live interviews. They had to make that cut and so on and so forth. It's an endeavor even to get the, you apply to be nominated, to get the nomination. It's an endeavor. My boys accepted the nomination to be candidates running as Team Sawyer in honor of Soy. And they just want to save other people from this. In general, from our journey, from, you know, the Codwells' journey, so many families. There's so much research still to be done to get there. And the $50,000 mark, huge endeavor. I mean, most people wouldn't even think of that, adults, but my kids are trying to do it in 7 weeks. And I'm proud of them no matter what they raise. But they came up with this $50,000 figure. When they learned from LLS that that's the minimum they have to raise to have a grant named after their brother, and they get to designate the funds. And so they won a Sawyer Peyton Rebholz grant, in which all the funds go to AML pediatric research to try to get a grip on it to some degree. This church loved on us tremendously the whole time he was sick. And when he died, and in the years since, and now. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that in general, but now even with my babies running to do this for others and for their brother, and I just thank you for your support of them.
Let's just take a moment and pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Meg's heart that she just shared with us. We thank you for the endeavor of her boys. So we pray, Lord, that you would anoint their efforts. Lord, that you would provide all that needs to be done for them. In Jesus' name. Doing a little bit of a change up from what I'd planned to share with you this morning. And shared in the first service that maybe some of you knew Pastor Dick Burns. He was a conference evangelist in our conference and a pastor, and he was a mentor in some ways to me. And any church he served, he always had printed at the bottom of the bulletin, he said, "The order of worship is subject to change at the Spirit's notice." So I want to read a different scripture passage than what was in your bulletin, and it comes from James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." And Andy, if you would put up just the point I wanted to make out of the slides from this morning, out of the message. Put up slide 2, if you would, that I talked with you about. And that testing is an opportunity for trust and relationships to be made stronger. Now, all of us have had trials and tests, and Meg just shared from her heart one of the trials and tests that their family has dealt with and continues to deal with, because as you can tell from talking and listening to her, her heart is still there. Her love is still there. And there's always a little bit of grief that goes on and on. And they went through a lot of testing with Sawyer's illness. Lots of questions, I'm sure, were racing through the minds at that point in time. Some of those questions would have been answered. Some are yet to be answered. Some we won't know until we stand on the other side of glory, what those answers might be. We don't always know what God will bring from the trials and the tests that we face. You know, sometimes it's obvious as we get to the other side of it and we can say, oh, I've learned this or I've grown here and my relationship with God is much stronger because I know He will. But sometimes we get to the other side of that and we know that I still have faith in God. I still trust God, but I don't know what the purpose was. And I can look at Meg and I can see that there was a lot that God has done in the midst of that family. About 6 years ago, Ann's brother was killed in a car accident. And in the midst of that accident and the passing, her mother was in the hospital and would pass within a couple months of that time. But in the midst of that moment of grief and that time, it was a rare moment where God revealed to me and I was able to write down 16 different acts of grace or mercy that came out of His passing and His death prior to Ann's mother, to His passing at that point in time. Some of those things were that there was brokenness and things within certain family relationships that were restored, and there was lives that have been transformed that aren't like they were prior to that. Things that took place that God worked in the midst of that. We don't always know what, getting against the microphone, we don't always know what might come from the passing of Sawyer. But there was some wonderful things that have transpired because of that. One of the most obvious is just a greater awareness of this disease and its impact and a need for things to be done that way. But you can look, and if you saw it, watched the video earlier, and you can listen to Meg's heart and her sharing, there is a family bond and purpose that has grown out of that. That maybe wouldn't have existed before. There might have just been love and companionship between brothers and parents and children. But now there's a difference. There's a bond and a purpose to work together to accomplish something because of Sawyer. There's also a desire to help others that might be facing the same thing. There's a desire and an ability to help others that are going through the same thing. Through some of that is through your contributions and giving to them to help achieve that. But it also, there's a sense that Meg and her family can give an emotional support and bond to others that none of the rest of us can do. There's research that will be conducted because of what contributions you help them to raise. Research that might be able to end this disease or to spare lives in the future. Some of what comes out of this in the midst of it is an opportunity for the church. Again, testing is an opportunity for relationships to grow deeper, not just with God, but with each other. And this is an opportunity for the church to continue to be knit together as a solid, strong body. In the midst of that very moment where they're going through the grief with Sawyer, but also at this point in time, we bond together as one body and we embrace them as they still have sorrow and grief. And we support them, we pray for them, we love them, we hold them. I'm going to pick on Kathy McHale back there. Some of the acts of the church is Kathy moving up to sit with Meg. To embrace her and to be there to sit alongside of her. I know all of you would have been willing to do that. But that's part of what comes out of this, that Sawyer's life is not without purpose. Sawyer's life has a purpose that even though short, is moving and reaching on and long beyond whatever we can accomplish right now. The trials, the tests, the struggles that we face in life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for our relationships with God and our relationship with each other to grow deeper and go stronger as we learn to trust in Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, would Your Spirit be poured out upon us. And Lord, we thank You for the life of Sawyer, and as short as it might have been, the mark that he has left upon this world. So we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would help us to honor you in the midst of remembrance of him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.